Hey, podcast listeners. The Journal is excited to announce a brand new podcast series launching Friday, May 19th, called The Future of Everything. On the show, we'll explore how science and technology are revolutionizing everything from business and industry to culture and society. The Future of Everything podcast is sponsored by Slack. Companies all over the world depend on Slack every day to get everything done. Slack, where work happens. We look forward to you joining us as we embark on this exciting new series. So be sure to subscribe now by visiting wsj.com/podcasts or visit the Future of Everything page on your podcast app.
Thanks to WannaCry and the impending doom that cyber threats have hovering over companies far and wide, IT jobs have become cybersecurity jobs, and a new digital playing field is born.
This is Tech News Briefing from the Wall Street Journal.
Hello, welcome. This is the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos in New York. The rise of cyber threats is lending way to a shift in protocol in that your neighborhood-friendly IT guy, once assigned to setting up computers and emails, must now treat security as a top priority. Joining us now with how the recent jolt in cyber threats have sparked new initiatives in offense is the Wall Street Journal's Christopher Mims. Hey, Chris.
Hey.
So originally in our early internet days, we didn't really see the extent of hacking and the need for cybersecurity. So now that we're a solid two decades into the internet, now we know that fighting it is a lot of money and really hard. How much money is going into fighting cybersecurity these days? And are we at least making some progress?
So Gartner estimates that in 2016, the spend is in excess of $81 billion being spent on, you know, cybersecurity. If you talk to the researchers who work on this kind of thing, they will tell you that we're worse off than ever, which is not to say that all that money isn't accomplishing something, because certainly it could be worse, but Sure. It's not getting better.
So if you're a huge corporation, perhaps you have the ability to hire some sort of cybersecurity SWAT team, but if you're not, essentially, you have to retrain your IT staff. What does this new staff have to do to restructure? What are the first steps in fighting cyber threats?
So it's a good news, bad news situation. The good news is that a lot of the things that IT staff used to have to do, like, let's say, run an email server, they're much better off now pushing that to the cloud, pushing that to teams like Google, for example, that can really secure that in a way that no individual business can. That said, you know, the cloud is not a silver bullet. It does, in some ways, free up IT staff to be more security oriented. Mm-hmm. And what I would argue, especially after talking to experts about this, is there is no such thing anymore as a pure IT staffer or as a non-security IT staffer. So in other words, the only way to make things reasonably secure is every time that something is being proposed, built, provisioned, rebuilt, all the way down to the level of the individual employee, security has to be the first concern. And, you can think of it as a triangle. There's cheap, there's fast, and there's secure. Mm-hmm. And the old line is, you know, you only get two of those. But the new thinking is really that we need to rebalance that triangle, that you need to, you know, maybe you go a little slower or maybe you don't. Because the other thing that happens when companies prioritize security is they just learn how to do it better. It's like in the old days when, if you think about how graphical user interfaces used to be not that great.
Right.
And then now we take it for granted that a toddler or your 80-year-old grandmother can pick up an iPad and it's so intuitive that they immediately get it. You know, in some ways that was just kind of industry-wide or civilization-wide learning. The same thing is true of security. You know, the worse the threats become, the more it's apparent to everyone that everyone in an organization needs to have some knowledge, or at the very least, everyone who does IT for an organization needs to be thinking in terms of security. That may mean that they need to be replaced. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, retraining works great. I talked to one professor who he was handed a crop of NASA space shuttle engineers that were surplus once the space shuttle program ended, you know, a few dozen of them. And he retrained them to handle cybersecurity. And, you know, he said the results are fantastic. You know, lots of engineers, lots of IT people are smart. They just need to be pointed in the right direction.
How important is preparation? Because You look at WannaCry, the fix was updating Windows. That's easy. But avoiding what happened would have meant avoiding a systematic flaw traced back to, you know, vulnerabilities from an NSA hacking. So that's a lot to have to be one step ahead of. One would think that the focus has to shift on avoiding these things before they happen. That's got to be a huge undertaking.
Right. I mean, one problem we have is we have a collective action problem. So imagine if there were no such thing as police, and every time there was a street crime, you know, the authorities' response was, well, this is on you.
Right. Right.
That's what we have with cybersecurity. it's down to individual. You know, if you get hacked or something, like, you can report it to the FBI, but good luck getting you anywhere. Part of the problem is jurisdiction, of course.
Not to mention the fact that this isn't just a simple hacking. This type of activity has evolved into a cyber criminal corporation at this point.
Yeah, so what's happened is the professionalization of cybercrime. That means more and more individuals, more and more specialization. Specialization begets efficiency, as in any other economy. So the person who is really good at extracting the most money from a list of stolen credit cards no longer has to be, you know, the same person who writes the code that actually goes into the malware, the person who writes the phishing emails that get people to download malware or give up their credentials in the first place. There's this feedback loop where hackers are making more and more money. That means more and more specialization and more organization. These might not be formal corporations, but for all intents and purposes, they are just like the kinds of corporations that we have, you know, that are legal. The WannaCry got a lot of attention, but it only netted the attackers on the order of like $50,000. There's malware that the average person has never heard of, which is netting on the order of $300 million at minimum. And security researchers say it may easily be twice that. So
Wow. There
is this massive, and you're talking about at this point, $1 billion hacking and malware industry. And that's even excluding all the state supported stuff.
We're speaking to The Wall Street Journal's Chris Mims about the new restructuring of IT thanks to cyber threats. You're listening to The Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing.
You rely on The Wall Street Journal for informed market insights and news coverage. Now let WSJ Wine give you the inside track to the world's smartest wine buys, delivered conveniently to your door. Highlights of your first case include a 99-point Super Tuscan and a gold medal Bordeaux from the exceptional 2015 vintage. Order now to receive over $100 in savings and free shipping. Simply go to wsjwine.com/sip or call 877-WSJ-WINE.
Thanks for joining us. So Microsoft, in particular, they say that they need a, quote, Geneva Convention, which paints an image. What kind of cybersecurity expectations do they have, and what would a Geneva Convention entail? What are they hoping to start with?
Well, I mean, just like we have conventions that ban, you know, certain classes of weapons.
Yeah.
Maybe the idea isn't that we would ban cyber weapons, because that's impossible, but that there would be, a rethinking of, you know, how long does the NSA hold on to the exploits that only it has? Because, I mean, in this case, you know, the NSA had this so-called zero-day exploit. If they had disclosed it earlier, we might not be in this position. This could have been patched long ago.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, it wasn't disclosed until it was leaked, at which point every copy of Windows Server on the planet became vulnerable. So any copy of Windows that did not get patched could then be directly compromised.
Chris Mims, insightful as always. Thanks for joining the podcast.
Thank you so much.
Thanks again to The Wall Street Journal's Chris Mims. That wraps up the tech news briefing for now. I'm Tanya Bustos in New York. Thank you for listening.